Hello and welcome to the Football Hour with Alex Mearns. I'm back with another Seven of the Best special. Easter is finally over and we are ready to rock and roll through the medium of podcasts. You know something? I was sat here thinking, hasn't it felt like an absolute age since we last spoke? I was sat eating a ton of Easter eggs, praying for Jesus to be resurrected and for the podcast, obviously, to return. I was thinking, whilst I was eating all that though, a lot can change in 7 days in football. International breaks can end. The proper football can return, like Jesus. Man City are still godlike. Stoke are still biblically bad. Mourinho moans despite another 2-0 win. And Leeds, yes, Leeds win a football match against a club. Bolton will be hearing a lot about in the next 20 minutes. What a life in football. On this very exciting podcast journey, we are taking the National Express from Lancashire to another part of Lancashire. We are heading to the Macron Stadium to count down the seven of the best Bolton players ever. Last week, we crowned Alan Shearer as Blackburn's greatest ever player. Big love and thanks goes out to every Seven of the Best player and football friend who gave that podcast a listen. If you're a new member of the Steve Parish and are desperate to know what the fudge is going on, let me tell you. Each week, we'll be going through different clubs up and down the football land and deciding who were the seven of the best from that particular club's history. The reason I give you these saucy pod prizes where we count down the seven of the best is because this podcast is kindly sponsored by the greatest football game in the land, 7OTB. If Seven of the Best was a film, it would be The Godfather, featuring the Titanic, followed by Shawshank Redemption. It's that bloody good. 7OTB is a free-to-play game where you pick your seven of the best predictions from the top eight football leagues in the country. Five wins, one banker, which is the team you most strongly feel will win that game week. And finally, one draw. Us, very lucky 7OTB players, try each week for the £250 individual prize. The £700 team prize is on offer every week where you combine your scores with your mates. And the big prize, 7OTB has on offer. If you get seven of the best 4 game weeks in a row, you will win £1 million. And as I say every week, the best thing about the game is you've got a chance to win a million and it's free to play. Just head to our website, 7otb.com. Every week, I think of one new thing I would spend my £1 million on. With the Grand National coming up, I'd put the whole winnings on a horse. Probably with the funniest name. You know, there's always one horse called Raheem Sterling's Knee or Winston Churchill's Cigar. Oh, excuse me, Bucky. I'd like to put £1 million on Sterling's knee. I'm sure he'd shake his head, but I think I'd win even more. What a life, what a life. Anyway, what's coming up on the podcast? We'll be picking our seven of the best players to ever play for the Wanderers. We'll be giving you the opportunity to pick your seven of the best Bolton players. I'll be talking you through my very respectable score from last week. We'll have a gander at how Ledley King's legends got on. And we'll be bigging up Tottenham Hotspur. Well, at least Ledley King will be after their win at Stamford Bridge last Sunday. Then we'll be walking you through my predictions for week 36. And I'll be telling you how to get those predictions in by 2:45 this very Saturday, 7th of April. But first, football friends, let's kick off the show by counting down the seven of the best Bolton players ever. This podcast will certainly not be mentioning the likes of Nicky Summerby, Liam Trotter or Kevin Rose, who only played 10 games and somehow managed to be 10 awful, awful games. Yes, Kevin Rose. Tut, tut, tut. What we'll be doing is focusing on the cream of the white crop. So we'll start from seven and work our way to the best player to ever play for Bolton. Here we go. At number seven, Eddie Hopkins. Bolton Wanderers is a club in mourning after Eddie Hopkins died at the age of 69. Hopkins was undoubtedly one of the greatest goalkeepers of his generation, and his service for Wanderers as a player, coach and matchday host spans over 4 decades. He joined the club in November 1952, having been an amateur with Lancashire rivals Oldham Athletic, and although born in Durham, he spent the majority of his life in the Lancashire area. He made a total of 578 appearances for the club between 56 and 69, which is a record to this day. And, but for injury, would have carried on playing for much longer. He He was part of the Bolton side to achieve FA Cup success against Man United in 58, when two goals from Nat Lofthouse gave Wanderers their last FA Cup win, and also won a total of 14 caps for England in the late 50s, and he even played cricket at local levels. He later coached at the club in the early 70s before joining Stockport as an assistant to former Wanderers boss Jimmy Meadows, and from the 90s has been a regular at the Reebok Stadium in his role as matchday host for guests of the club. Number 6 on the chart, Kevin Davies. Davies originally made his name as a vital part of Chesterfield team, which reached the semi-finals of the FA Cup in 97. He left Chesterfield at the end of that season, having made 148 appearances for the club and joined Premier League club Saints in May 97. He spent only one season at the Saints, making 30 appearances, before he joined Premier League club Blackburn Rovers, boo for any Bolton supporters, in a club record $7.5 million deal. Once again, he spent a single season at the club, making 29 appearances before rejoining Southampton back in 99. His second spell at the club, he made 95 appearances, also spending part of 2002 on loan at First Division club Millwall, where he made 9 appearances. Released by Southampton at the end of the 2002-2003 season, he joined Premier League club Bolton Wanderers on a free transfer. He was made Bolton captain in January 2009, but began to fall out of favour at Bolton towards the end of the 2012-2013 season, and the club decided against renewing his contract. Davies did, however, make 407 appearances for Bolton, scoring 84 goals, then played 2 seasons at Preston North End before retiring. He made 3 appearances for England under-21s team in 97 and 2000. At the age of 33, though, Davies made his international debut, and the only appearance for England against Montenegro in a 0-0 draw on the 12th of October 2010, coming on as a second-half sub. Number 5, Frank Worthington. The working man's best, Frank Worthington, a football legend who could give George Best a run for his money with his off-the-field antics. He loved the birds and the booze. It doesn't matter who you support. The mere mention of Frank Worthington is guaranteed to bring a smile to all who saw him play. A supreme stylist, Worthington joined Huddersfield aged 14, turned pro at 16 and made his debut 2 years later. He was always destined to go way beyond Division 2, whether it was his hometown club or not. And it didn't take long before his maverick streak came to the fore. Ian Greaves, one of his former managers, who gave him his big break, grew tired of Worthington, trying to tell him how to run his training sessions, and would regularly call him to task. On one occasion, Frank stood his ground while keeping the ball up, flicking it over his head, rolling it down his back, flicking it over again and catching it on his foot. Greaves kept the faith and Worthington responded with 18 goals to help Huddersfield win Division 2. His only winner's medal. After 2 years at the top level, Huddersfield went down, while Frank went in the opposite direction. If things had gone to plan, that would have been to Liverpool. By the time he left Yorkshire in 72, he won England under-23 honours, although his first meeting with the squad also led to a flea in his ear, given the boss was Sir Alf Ramsey, and Frank turned up in cowboy boots, a red silk shirt and a lime velvet jacket. Maybe it's not surprising with Frank. 84 appearances and 34 goals. He finished Football League's First Division leading scorer for Bolton in the 78-79 season. Number 4, Gudni Bergsson. Bergsson, now 52, was a hit in England for Tottenham Hotspur and Bolton until he hung up his boots in 2003. During that time, he also won 80 international caps during his 20-year football odyssey. When he called time on his life in the game, despite then-Bolton boss Sam Allardyce begging him to reconsider, he went back home. Bergsson was a regular for Iceland at international level, earning 80 caps as a solid defender and scoring the only one goal. After hanging up his boots, Bergsson worked as a lawyer while remaining active on the football scene in Iceland. While he played at Spurs, Bergsson studied law, and when he returned to his homeland, he put his education to practice. He had a mad life, though. Back in 2012, Bergsson was stabbed twice in the leg by a man with a knife outside the Reykjavik offices of his law firm. But despite his ups and downs in life, he is a true Bolton hero. Number 3, John McGinley. McGinley is perhaps best known for his five-year spell with the Wanderers between 92 and 97, where his scoring exploits led him to being nicknamed Super John. After his goals eliminated FA Cup holders Liverpool from the competition, he successfully partnered fellow Scot Andy Walker as the Trotters gained promotion from the third tier in 93, with McGinley scoring the match-winning penalty in the last fixture against local rivals Preston. Further cup giant killings over teams such as Everton and Arsenal followed the next year, with McGinley featuring prominently. He scored 33 goals across all competitions during the campaign, and the team became known in local media as White Hot due to the performances. In the 95 season, he was in the side which gained promotion to the Premier League via the playoffs, playing all 120 minutes of the dramatic 4-3 victory over Reading. They were relegated in the subsequent campaign, and also started in the League Cup final, which they lost 2-1 to Liverpool in the same season. In April 97, he scored the last goal at Burnham Park, finishing as the club and the division's top scorer with 24 goals from 43 games, as Bolton returned to the top level, this time as champions. A notable individual achievement in that year was scoring a hat-trick in a 6-1 cup win over Spurs. He made 7 further appearances for the club at the outset of the next season before joining second-tier Bradford City. He later had the Bolton club crest tattooed on his arm. What a legend. Number 2, JJ Okocha. Okocha joined Bolton Wanderers is something that should have never really happened, but everyone should be grateful that it did. The club that famously produced Nat Lofthouse, a perfect embodiment of the powerhouse English centre-forward, based in the nondescript town in the rainy northwest, shouldn't have brought the best out of an outrageously talented Nigerian international. Theoretically, neither should have a manager like Big Sam. Okocha and Allardyce were seen as virtually polar opposites in terms of their ideologies regarding football, but somehow they worked beautifully in tandem. A sitcom-worthy odd couple, riding ridiculously roughshod over traditional notions of how to compete in the Premier League. Together, the pair danced to their own magnificently incongruous tune, establishing Bolton in the top half and taking them into Europe. It was really quite wonderful. Of all the possible destinations, Bolton seemed incredibly unlikely. Still only 28, Okocha had offers from more high-profile clubs, but was desperate to play in the Premier League. After lengthy negotiations, he agreed to join the lowly Trotters. Against pundits' expectation, Bolton had narrowly survived in their first season back in the Premier League. Match of the Day's Mark Lawrenson infamously had to have his moustache shaved off after betting the club supporters the club would be relegated. Okocha was part of Allardyce's attempt to lash greater attacking threat onto his functional team. He scored 7 goals and became the fulcrum of a patchwork side, melding English grit in the form of Simon Charlton, Anthony Barnes, Mike Whitlow and co, with more than a sprinkling of flair. It must have seemed barely achievable to Bolton's fans at the time, but Okocha formed a brilliant partnership with French World Cup winner Youri Djorkaeff. Finally, Bolton's greatest ever player, Nat Lofthouse. He won 33 England caps during a career spent entirely with one club. Bolton, his most memorable performance, which won him the nickname the Lion of Vienna, was for England against Austria in May 52. Friendly internationals then held an importance that was now all but vanished, and Lofthouse's winning goal in the 3-2 victory against a powerful team was lauded to the skies. 6 years later, he scored both goals for Bolton when they beat Man United 2-0 in the 58 FA Cup final at Wembley. The second goal when he crashed into United's goalkeeper Harry Gregg in mid-air as he caught a high cross was probably illegal, as Lofthouse himself would later admit, but it still counted. A few months later, he was back at Wembley to terrorise the Russian goalkeeper with his robust challenges, helping England to win 5-0. The superb left-footed shot on the turn, which scored England's 5th and last goal, was his 30th for England, equaling what was then Tom Finney's record. This made it the more bitterly ironic that Lofthouse, inexplicably, had been left out of the England World Cup team, which the previous summer had been knocked out of the tournament by the Russians. The international career of his powerfully built centre-forward never quite matched his fame, though it began as early as 1950 when he was capped at Highbury against Yugoslavia. He did figure in the 54 World Cup in Switzerland, playing in the opening game against Belgium and in the quarterfinals when England lost 4-2 to Uruguay. Lofthouse scoring a goal. Perhaps his style was a little too traditional for the England selectors and the team manager Walter Winterbottom. A natural header of the ball climbing high above tall defenders, he stood 5'9". He initially preferred to attack the ball in the air. He honed his technique by spending hours heading a tennis ball against the wall of his house. But he developed a powerful shot as well. His expenses at first were half a crown a week, rising to 3 shillings and a sixpence, then to 7 and a 6. Turning professional, he was paid £1.10. He is, though, 7 of the best and the Football Hour's greatest ever Bolton player. If you do not agree with any of my picks and wish to create your own 7 of the best Wanderers player, tweet at the Football Hour using the hashtag 7OTBBWFC with your selections. Now on to 7 of the best matters. Mr. King is bigging up Spurs. We all know we like to talk about his 7 talking points from the weekend games. And of course, first, Kingo picked out Spurs, his first win at the Bridge since 1990. He said Spurs won at the Bridge for the first time since 1990. Well, Mr. King, you're copying me. To move 8 points clear of Chelsea in the Premier League. Champions League football is vital for the return of the redeveloped White Hart Lane next season. And it looks like Chelsea will become the 4th team in 5 seasons to fail to qualify after winning the Premier League the previous seasons. As well as writing his website articles, Ledley likes to get involved with the playing. Last week, his team did remarkably well. The legend scored 110 points, but finished outside the top 30 as 197 players got all 7 predictions correct and a further 624 got 6 predictions. Other than Peter Crouch, who earned 17 points, every other legend got 22 points, which is really, really high scoring. If you want to set up a team like Ledley has done, just go to our website and go to Manage My Team section. You can set up your teams and you've got a chance of winning £700 together. Enough of Ledley and his legends. Let's talk about my last game week. Well, we heard about the vast number of 7 of the best players doing well. Well, I didn't do that well if it was such a high scoring game. I scored 17 points, which for me is above my average. But as we've heard, I should have done a lot better. I lost points when I went for Villa away win at Hull City. They only got a draw. Then I went for my draw, Ipswich Town versus Birmingham, 1-0 win. So I was quite close. Anyway, for my week 36 predictions, here we go. My draw, Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace. I think Palace can get a draw away. Then I've gone for Spurs win. Arsenal my banker, Chelsea win, Derby win, my team leads, Millwall. And my final prediction is Millwall. To enter your predictions, head to www.7otb to set up your profile and new teams with your mates. Then, just like I have, insert your 7 of the best game week selections. Remember, you must make your week 36 selections by 3:15 this Saturday, the 7th of April. It's free to enter and you can play your way to £1 million. All I want to say now is well done to Bolton Wanderers for having such brilliant players to choose from. Thank you to 7 of the best. I wish you, the football friends, a great week and a brilliant weekend. And good luck playing 7 of the best. We had a high-scoring week last week. Let's have another one this week. I've been Alex Mearns. This has been The Football Hour. Thank you for listening.